11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Welcome along, listeners. It's a pleasure to have you with us here for an action-packed weekend in the world of championship football. It's Dave Kellner in the studio with Mr. Pete Farries on the line. First of all, good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon.
I'm looking forward to this. I know that the start of the season was rocky, but the last few weeks in particular, Pete, are really picking up in terms of your own form.
Yeah, I think it's quite a lot of naplands in the last, certainly post Boxing Day. It's been a really good run for me. I'm like David Moyes Everton.
Hopefully you like David Moyes' Manchester United as well.
Oh, cheers, mate. Thank you. Yeah, crazy game that one last night, wasn't it? Of course, it's a smaller calendar this week because of the FA Cup action. But there are four Championship games which are covering. We've got a couple of picks outside of the Championship as well. And yet again, one of my golf picks looked very good, Dave. So all in all, it's not been a bad time.
And I saw someone on Twitter thanking you for your league podcast predictions and landed something like a 70-1 acca. See that.
Well, if I'm honest with you, Dave, I landed one of the biggest accumulate wins I've ever had last weekend.
Wow.
I was at a friend's engagement party on Saturday, and yeah, it was. I was very, very pleased indeed. Not for the engagement, I don't like her.
I was just about to say, Pete, I believed the story up until the point when you said you'd gone to a friend's engagement party.
Yeah, well, there you go. I have got over three friends, Dave, of which you were one of, so now it's two. But yeah, listen, there was some great value last weekend. I think there's some good value this weekend as well, to be honest.
Let's get cracking then. We'll start off with the two TV games in Leagues 1 and 2, respectively. And on Friday night, we've got Brentford versus Gillingham, 7:45 p.m. kickoff in English League 1. Brentford 4-11. The draw is 7-2. Gillingham in the betting at 13-2. Brentford short, but short for a reason, Pete. Second in the league, picked up 56 points from 26 games and only dropped 2 points in their last five League One matches. Gillingham, though, come into this game with two wins in three. Is this as straightforward as the betting suggests, Pete?
No, I don't think it is. I think for a couple of reasons. I mean, yes, Brentford have been unbelievable, of course. Those 2 points in five, Dave, you mentioned, it's only 2 points dropped since late November. They've been absolutely unbelievable in League One. And when you consider they've lost the manager during that time as well, it's even more impressive, isn't it? And the job at the moment that Warburton's doing is absolutely phenomenal. Of course, David Weir's gone in as his assistant manager. That's a big thing after the criticism that David Weir, rightly or wrongly, received early season as well for his role in the Sheffield United problems that they had. And it was a pretty big role, wasn't it? The issue for me here is the whole A socks up syndrome issue. They've been flying. Now, if they go into this game at 10-11, even money, I'm willing to look at that and go, do you know what? I normally apply socks up syndrome to this, but that price is just good enough for me to say I can take that. 4-11 absolutely is not good enough for me to want to take that leap, especially when you also consider that Brentford are without three very, very important players. Dean, Forshaw, Douglas might not be fully fit for this either, despite the fact that he came back into the side the other day. I don't think he's fully fit. You know, Saunders probably won't be there either. So you're looking at a great deal of players, important players for Brentford, who probably won't be there, who probably won't be playing. And then you also look at Gillingham away. And yes, you know, they've gone to a brilliant Rotherham and lost 4-1, more on them later. They've played Notts County, of course, a little bit better under, well, not a little bit better, better just generally under Sean Derry, and Colchester, who beat them 3-0. And Colchester, a mid-table side. But they have picked up some decent wins as well. Sheffield United, Tranmere. I just look at this, and I can't back Brentford. I just cannot back, for the life of me, Brentford in this game at 4-11. It looks far, far, far too small. And Gillingham at 13-2 looks far, far, far too big. couple of bets here. The both teams to score, yes, at 10 to 11 looks great. If you look at the way that Brentford have been scoring goals at home, you know, they've been banging them in for fun, haven't they? And have failed, in fact, to, well, not failed, I suppose, succeeded in not conceding in two of the last five at home. But three against Peterborough, two conceded. Three against Swindon, two conceded. Milton Keynes got the one there as well. I think both teams to score at 10 to 11 is brilliant. But I actually think Gillingham stand a really good chance in this game because Brentford have been flying and now all of a sudden that flying style has just come to an end and they're missing important players. The other bet for me here is a big one. It's Gillingham draw no bet at 5 to 1.
Good stuff. We have a couple of headline offers there as well. Donaldson to score and Brentford to win 6-4 and Kedwell to score and Gillingham to win in the betting at 14-1. As ever, bets void if the named player doesn't start.
Well, the Donaldson headline offer is interesting. I mean, he's bagged in, I think it's three of the last five home games. He's obviously, Clayton Donaldson, one of the most dangerous strikers in this division. So that's not a bad headline offer to be having, really, if you want to play Brentford.
The other TV game over the long weekend is Scunthorpe versus Fleetwood, a League Two game on Monday night. At time of recording, Pete, no betting available for this match. Just give us a bit of background into the two teams and their respective chances.
Yeah, well, Scunthorpe have absolutely exploded. They were actually mocked in some sectors. I wouldn't say by myself, but that would be a lie, for sacking Brian Laws when they did, but they've just been unbelievable. They've just won game after game after game. They've strengthened with some great signings going into that football club as well. I mean, some of the players that Scunthorpe have brought in are unbelievable. They've got, you know, Hayes in good goal-scoring form, Winnell in good goal-scoring form. They just look dangerous across the board. They're playing a Fleetwood side who, while they are very, very good indeed, and they are very, very good indeed, on the road of late, they've struggled a bit. Now, admittedly, their struggles have been narrow losses to poor side. I mean, Northampton are a poor side. Accrington, you know, they're a poor side, but the job that James Beattie is doing is brilliant, if that makes sense. And a loss 1-0 to Morecambe. You know, they've been to a very good side in Rochdale and won 2-1 recently as well, but I just think for Fleetwood, they might start to have one eye, of course, on the JPT, which is coming up very, very soon indeed. They've still got one eye on an incredibly tight division in League Two, dependent on price, and of course, in betting, everything's dependent on price. I'd probably go Scunthorpe, race the two. With the way they've been scoring at home recently, you've got to look at that. And I think also the important way to play this might well be the overs goals and a Scunthorpe win. But again, without pricing, it's hard. But certainly at the moment, you've got to look at Scunthorpe. And you might say, well, Pete, they've won a couple of games and have just drawn one. Is that not a socks up syndrome? Well, they did draw one just before that as well against Bury, which you know, cuts off the socks up syndrome thing for me. It's usually more than three or four wins, socks up syndrome. So that at the moment is still not backable. And despite winning three on the road for Fleetwood, three in a row for Fleetwood on the road. There you go. That was clear, wasn't it? It's still not quite there for me.
Have you trademarked socks up syndrome?
No, but it genuinely works. You know, it works. What was it they say in Anchorman? 60% of the time, it works every time. It has worked a great deal, and along with the in-play race to three market, I think it's probably my favourite way of framing bets.
You need to get the T-shirt printed.
I do. That, and then underneath in brackets, why not think about race to three? ? It's
That's
overpriced.
I don't know how well it'd sell, but it'd be good fun anyway.
It would. I mean, I have a general idea that it would be an economic disaster for myself.
Possibly.
There you go. I've got a house to try and buy, so I probably need to maybe not do that for now.
On to the Championship games then. 3 p.m. Kickoffs on Saturday, and we'll start off with Ipswich versus Reading. Ipswich 6-5, the draw 11-5, and Reading 21-10. Ipswich might be, Pete, feeling a little bit deflated at the moment. Knocked out of the FA Cup by Preston in that replay, and beaten in their last two Championship matches, at home against Queen's Park Rangers and away against Millwall. And Reading come into this game on the back of that unbelievable performance at home against Bolton, winning 7-1.
Yeah, and if you remember back to last week's podcast, I actually forecast a 7-1 win for Reading, Dave.
What price was that, Pete?
20-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course, no one expected that. No one could see that coming. Reading blew Bolton off the face of the planet. And really, it's amazing, that result. Their away form recently as well, despite losing at Leicester and Borough, two teams in great form, of course, facing each other this weekend as well. Reading have been good on the road, beating Forest, a good side, Huddersfield, Watford, picking up good away wins. And Ipswich, I've got to say, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I felt were a real sort of pick to be in and around those promotion places. Mid-December, they'd really begun to find some form, but after that, just one win in 8 games is not good enough, especially when you consider that win was against Doncaster Rovers. Add to that, yes, they've lost 3-1 to QPR, but I don't know if you saw Frederick's goal for Millwall against Ipswich the other day. That was heading for a draw. I mean, okay, the goal came, I think, 35th, 40th minute, but Frederick's goal was ludicrous. It was so lucky. Millwall got a win, but they got a win. And Ipswich, again, it's another way. First of all, they get beaten by QPR, you know, 3-1, and then they play Ipswich. And Ipswich fluke it, so they've been battered, and then they've been hard done by, and that's a hard sequence of games to get over sometimes. On top of which, can you imagine how high Reading are flying right now? They must be unbelievably confident. The way that Nigel Adkins must have just got them going in the week must have been crazy. He must have had not to say anything. They're just turning up 4 hours early for training, probably just looking so confident. And their away form of late, including a really good win over Nottingham Forest, is very good. 21-10 for me is a big old price for Reading when you consider how this has been going. And yes, Ipswich have been drawing quite a lot of games recently. So therefore, the bet for me, unquestionably, unequivocally, David, Reading draw no bet, 5-4. 5-4 in this. When you consider that, yes, Ipswich have been drawing a lot of games, it still gives you that insurance, it gives you the odds against price, it gives you that hug from mummy, but it gives you a nice little bet if it lands as well. 5-4 for a side, you'd imagine, sky high in confidence.
Next up, it's Leicester versus Middlesbrough. You have already mentioned these two teams playing each other this weekend, and Leicester top of the table, Middlesbrough in ninth. Middlesbrough have won their last couple of games in the Championship 2-0, though. Beat Blackpool away from home, and then won 1-0 at home against Charlton. The prices here, Leicester 4-5, the draw 5-2, and Middlesbrough definitely on an upward curve at the moment. 3-1, Pete.
Yeah, they are, and you're talking about the two informed teams in the Championship, aren't you? Leicester, 6 wins from 6. Middlesbrough, 5 wins and a draw from 6. So you're looking at the two informed teams in this league. When these two have played each other recently as well, while I'm not a huge head-to-head better, there has been one trend that people might want to focus on. It's not a bet that I would play this weekend, because I think these are two very different sides to the ones that the last couple of times have faced each other. But it's the to-come-from-behind market. Now, OK, it didn't land in January of 2013, but you look at how often this has been going on recently. Leicester came from behind to beat Borough 2-1 early season, first game of the season, I think, in fact. Last year, they came from behind again to draw. The come-from-behind market just appears to be just ticking over nicely. Leicester, of course, did it again in October of 2012. So they keep coming from behind, Leicester, and getting a point or getting a win. So you could look towards that market if you wish to. Of course, you find that under other markets, and it's come from behind and win or draw Leicester at 15-4. But this is a very different Borough side, and this is what makes this game so hard, because you've got a team in Leicester who are untouchable at the moment, who weren't great against Leeds but have managed to scrape themselves a 1-0 win in that game anyway, against a Borough side who are trimming down their squad by sending a lot of the young players who were involved out on loan. They've got players like Shalobar and, here we go, Omaruo, nailed it this week, you know, in that first team side as well. You've got a cat in my house just sprinting around going crazy. and generally speaking, they just look so good, Borough, at the moment. The bet here for me, actually, is a draw. I think this is an X here. Draw 5-2, and I think a score draw as well, 16-5, are both worthy of being played. Like I said, there has been come from behind and draws in recent head-to-head form of these two. But you've got a Leicester side who only scraped. If they'd been Leeds comfortably the other day, I wouldn't have worried about this. I'd have thought that Leicester at 4-5 were probably a play. But they weren't convincing against Leeds. And yes, Leeds were having to be a lot tighter after that absolute destruction from Sheffield Wednesday. But I still think, with Borough being as tight as they are under Aitor Karanka at the moment, I think the important thing here for him is to come here and, if they can, nick it. It won't be ugly, but just try and nick it if they have to. He's being very pragmatic at the moment. And I think the way that Leicester played against Leeds wasn't brilliant. They did struggle to get those 3 points, and the way the Borough are playing at the moment is very good. And therefore, the draw in this game at 5-2, I think they probably just cancel each other out here. It is so hard, the two form teams in the league. It's going to be an excellent, excellent game, this one, I think.
On to Blackburn versus Derby. Blackburn 8-5, the draw 21-10, and Derby 8-5. The compilers, Pete, finding these two sides impossible to split. Derby fourth in the league with 47 points. Blackburn 8th in the league with 37 points. So 10 points separate the two sides in the league. Blackburn pretty strong at home. Derby pretty strong away from home.
You can entirely understand why the traders have priced this game the way they've priced it, can't you, Dave? I mean, 8-5, obviously, individual outright prices for each team to win, and the draw being at that price of 21-10. You get it. I entirely get it. I mean, Steve McLaren was saying that after that 4-1 defeat from Leicester City, that they'd got a bit of a reality check, his Derby side, who, of course, flew up the table, didn't they, almost as soon as he came in. Since then, though, of course, Lone Star Patrick Bamford's gone in and scraped them a 1-0 win at home against Brighton. But I just look at them a little bit at the moment and look at their away teams they've played, okay? Good win over Wigan, first game of December. But then, Charlton, should be dispatching them at any rate. A draw against Huddersfield, who were average. A win over Barnsley, who were poor. And then this loss to Leicester. Blackburn have done very, very well recently against decent teams in some places and against, you know, generally speaking, some poor ones as well. So it's a bit daft, but they got battered by Forest the other day. Fair enough. Scraped by past Birmingham City. Okay, fair enough. Birmingham stole that one. But, you know, beat Leeds. Okay, beat a poor side in Doncaster. But Blackburn are, ultimately, at the moment, very, very well organised. There was one bet, though, that I felt was probably just quite a good way in this game. And when you browse down the market here, when you go through down to the goal scorers, and you see Jordan Rhodes at 10-11, and you go, yeah, okay. But then you see a man who, in recent weeks, has hit the bar, has had plenty of good chances, has played well in the FA Cup in a game where his team was defeated by Man City, and a guy that I've gone on about week in, week out. And 4-1 against a side who he was very, very, very close to joining, reportedly, in the summer in Derby County. 4-1 for Tom Kearney is absolutely brilliant. I also think, though, this game is another one with a draw written on it. 21-10. I think you've got to look at the draw there again, Dave, because, again, two sides who have done the same things against poor sides, the same things against good sides, who are both off the back of an absolute battering, who may decide instead of going for the game, they'll go, well, last week we considered four, let's be tight. And I think both sides might do that. Derby, yes, have since recovered from conceding those goals, have, yes, won a game against Brighton, but I still think the impetus for Steve McLaren might be on just trying to be a bit more tight. So again, I think this might be another draw weekend for Blackburn Rovers.
Couple of bets there, then the draw at 21-10, and have a look at Tom Kearney in the goal scorer markets, 4-1 to score any time for Blackburn. Pete, the most interesting, or from my perspective, the most interesting game this weekend in the Championship is Blackpool versus Doncaster. Blackpool even money, the draw 11-5, and Doncaster 13-5. Paul Ince sacked by text by Blackpool chairman Carl Oyston, who finally lost his patience with Ince. So it makes it a different dynamic for this game, doesn't it, without Ince there behind the scenes. And some of the players, or one in particular, celebrated his sacking via Instagram. Former defender Ian Evatt put out what do you call it on Instagram? Put out a post, I suppose, on Instagram about his sacking. And it seems like a few of the players are happy that he's gone.
Well, I mean, yeah, Ian Evatt's tweet about it. I mean, obviously, I cover Chesterfield, so I've spent time quite a bit of time with Ian Evatt this season, and I think he's a man who speaks his mind in a lot of ways. And yeah, he wasn't particularly happy, was he? The same respect that he showed me was, I think, the phrase that he used at the end of that.
Yeah.
On top of which, in recent weeks, you've seen Michael Chopra come out on Twitter and go crazy about the training regime under Paul Ince. It was just chaos. It was absolute chaos at Blackpool. He's now gone, of course, so have his assistants. And a lot of players who weren't massive fans of Paul Ince will now be a great deal happier. But at the same time, at the very same time, can you back Doncaster in this game? Woeful form. Woeful, woeful, woeful form, aren't they? Did pick up a win the other day over Wigan, a great win, but generally speaking, especially on the road, they're dreadful. They've picked up, I think, one away win all season over Sheffield Wednesday. Barely picked up any points other than that on the road. I think it's only 5 points all season for Doncaster on the road. But then, again, you counter that again. If this is a courtroom and I'm arguing myself, you counter it again and you say, well, Blackpool, look at them. Look at the way they've been playing. 9 losses in 10. Dreadful. So how do you play this game? Or at least, how do you find a breakthrough in this game? You've got a Blackpool side who may well be a great deal happier now that the manager who wasn't particularly popular has gone. You've got a Doncaster side who may look at this and say, I'll tell you what, they're gettable even though the manager's gone. And I've got to say, the bet for me here is Doncaster Rovers. I still think it is worth playing. Now, ahead of this game on Saturday, you're likely to get the market of Billy Sharp to go back into any-time goal scorers for Doncaster. Of course, he was prolific in his time at Doncaster, moved to Southampton, didn't work out for him, and of course has now gone back on loan to the club. He is a huge talisman for Doncaster Rovers. He is a huge statement from Doncaster Rovers that they are desperate to sort this form out. Yes, there's been a lot of injuries. Yes, they've struggled without a lot of very important players. But they've kept all the Richie Wellens. They've managed to get Billy Sharp in. I think you're going to get a Doncaster Rovers side who won 3-0 the other day and will now start to find themselves a little bit more confident in this match. To be able to get Doncaster Rovers in this game at 13-5 is brilliant. Because I tell you what, Dave, if you're looking at this just as a price perspective, okay? Just a price perspective. Blackpool. Why in the name of all that is holy do I want to back Blackpool who've lost 9 of 10 games at even money?
New manager syndrome.
Well, they haven't got a new manager.
Barry Ferguson?
I love it. Barry Ferguson is just the way that everyone wins arguments from that one. Where were you on the 3rd of July 2000? Barry Ferguson? Oh, fair enough, you may go. Listen, even money is not good enough for a team in this kind of form, because even if they're delighted that the manager's gone, there's still so much to work on. There's still such a lack of confidence in maybe their own abilities at the moment that even money is dreadful. And with Doncaster winning 3-0 the other day, with them bringing in a brilliant new striker, well, not new striker, but a brilliant striker in Billy Sharp, back to the club, 13-5 is absolutely ludicrous for Doncaster Rovers. It is ludicrous. And do you know what? Normally I'd take the draw no bet here, Dave, at 7-4. Forget it. 13-5 Doncaster Rovers. I think they do Blackpool here.
And my thunder has been stolen somewhat as well, as regards the nap, which we'll come to at the end of the podcast. We finish off this week with a look at Rotherham versus Crawley in English League One. Rotherham even money, the draw 5-2, and Crawley in the betting at 23-10. Why have you pinpointed this as the match you wanted to look at in League One?
I just wanted to talk about it, Dave, truth be told. There's obviously a few games in League One postponed. There's not too many in League Two, one or two here or there in terms of reorganisation of fixtures. But generally speaking, you know, you've got some interesting calendars. But I had to talk about Rotherham. I had to do it. Because the value at even money is brilliant. Is absolutely brilliant. You put this even money, Dave, up against the Blackpool even money, and it just looks ludicrous. Yes, they went for a little sticky patch where they beat Bradford, then lost to Port Vale, were battered by Coventry. Since then, they've scored 7 goals in 2 games against Crewe, who were a poor side, and against Shrewsbury, who since then, of course, have parted ways with manager Graham Turner. But Crawley aren't a great side, and while they haven't lost, you know, they've only lost one in their last 5 games, they're still a side that I think defensively are very susceptible. Now, they shipped 2 against Bristol City, were tight against Carlisle, tight on the road against their Crewe. They managed to outscore Leighton Orient, and yes, they managed to get some goals and equalise and draw 2-2 against Coventry, but they won't get those chances against Rotherham. And the way that Rotherham have been scoring goals at home recently, like I say, that one against Coventry wasn't great, but they 4 past Gillingham, 3 past Wolves, 4 past Crewe. And the even money for Rotherham just looks absolutely brilliant. It looks absolutely brilliant. But then, if you want one for Yaka this weekend, over 2.5 at 8-11 also looks great. And put those two together, thinking the way that Crawley have been scoring goals recently, thinking that Rotherham have been scoring 4s and 3s all over the place, I had to tell the listeners, match result on both teams to score, 14-5 Rotherham, looks absolutely magnificent. It looks magnificent. Rotherham are flying at the moment. They're flying high. And yes, if you look at their general form, you say, well, come on. I mean, 3 wins from 5, that's not exactly fantastic, is it? But no, losing to Coventry, there's no horrible shame in that. And yes, it was a poor performance against Port Vale, but they've bounced back and they've just got goals back in that side, Dave. And they are just scoring them for fun. They look frightening. They look absolutely frightening. They're getting goals from all over as well. You know, your Frecklingtons, your Revels, your Agards, your Hitchcocks. I think Tavernier scored the other day as well. I'm a big fan of him. He's a right back. A big fan of Tavernier. I think Pringle got one. They've just got goals from everywhere. So for me, even money Rotherham is just manna from the gods.
Even money, Rotherham. Match result and both teams to score. Rotherham in the betting at 14-5 as well. And now, onto the naps, Pete, the best bets. I was actually speaking to our head odds compiler, or one of our chief football odds compilers, this morning, and he thinks that Barry Ferguson will end up getting the Blackpool job, especially if it does well until the end of the season. He wants it permanently, and he's the cheap option. He also talked about Billy Sharp, and he's going to be my nap of the week. Billy Sharp to score any time for Doncaster at Blackpool. He's got an incredible record, scoring record against Blackpool, Billy Sharp. And Martin Ramshaw was convinced that he'll get a goal this weekend, and he's going to add him into the market immediately. So by the time this podcast goes out, Billy Sharp should be in the scorer's market for Doncaster.
Could have mentioned any of that before we started recording, Dave, could you?
No, I couldn't. I wanted to just keep it. And then you mentioned Billy Sharp, and it shows that you're on the same wavelength as one of our compilers.
Good. I think Doncaster at 13-5 are unbelievable.
Yeah. So Billy Sharp anytime is my night this week.
Yeah, and I think, well, he's a great player at this level, Dave. He's a great player. I think Doncaster are a great bit of value, but the reason I chose Rotherham was because I was just so enamoured by that price at even money that it has to be my nap of the weekend.
Yeah.
It has to be. Like I say, the way they're scoring goals at the moment, and Crawley going through a bit of a purple patch, and I think they could score a goal in the game, but I think that Rotherham at the moment have got goals from all over the park, are so confident at home, and yes, a couple of losses within that most recent run of form, but they've bounced back from those two losses by scoring 7 goals in 2 games. They generally are scoring goals for fun at home. Okay, like I said, only 1 against Coventry, but you are still looking at, what, 12, 13 goals in the last 4 home games. They'll outscore whatever Crawley can bring at them.
And we will have the full nap standings next week for next week's podcast. And we'll bring back the Lee Phelps both teams to score double when we've got a full championship fixture list next week, which should be good. Pete, thank you.
Cheers, Dave.
And thanks to you for listening to the League podcast this weekend. Enjoy your betting, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.